child in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you've heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. I now rejoice in my suffering for you. You know, that sounded like, I haven't always done that, but now I do, right? I now rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of the Lord, or the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, we're so thankful for your word. God, it's your word that changes our thoughts. It's the word that changes the way we think. And God, when we begin to change the way we think, Lord, we become different people in you, Lord. Our actions will follow suit, God. Soon our actions will begin to change also. So God, I thank you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, for every person in this room, Lord, that they would be transformed by the renewing of their mind, by the washing of the word. God, today, Lord, not in the future, but to this very day, Lord, that something would happen in the spirit that would change their thinking. God, we've all heard of the old pattern of thinking and call it the stinking thinking. And God, we have stinking thinking, God. We have stinking thinking about us, about religion, and sometimes about you. But God, I pray today that our stinking thinking would stop and we begin to think according to the word and according to the thoughts of Christ, and we'd be filled up. And God, that we would see ourselves differently in Jesus Christ. You are our true identity. So God, I pray that every person has revelation knowledge to this sermon today through the Spirit of God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. First of all, been meaning to say this for some time. We have several visitors here today, and we just want to say welcome to Bridge of Hope Church. We just want you to feel the love of Christ and the love of his family, the church. And so just relax. Snakes are not coming out for another 30 minutes. You have nothing. Just relax and enjoy yourself. If I ever bring a snake out, there'll be several doors made in this church. Every window would become a door. I like the way this thing starts. He says, you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind. So I put down the very first point of this thing is it's like a before and after picture. I like to watch those commercials on TV especially weight loss commercials where they got a dress or a pair of pants that looked like it could have been a sail on a boat, you know, they're holding, here's my old pants, and they drop it, and all of a sudden you see a slender man or a slender woman behind it. What they're telling you is, I'm not the same person I used to be. That's my before picture. I used to fill these pants up, and today, look at me, you know. And then they begin to try to sell you a product. Well, I got news for you. That's what God has done for us. He's taken a before and an after picture. And the before picture was, you once were alienated by your wicked works until Jesus Christ came in your heart. And He began to change you. And now there's a new picture that He wants to put up in front of you. And it's a picture of holiness. It's a picture of a new identity in Christ. And see, I think lots of things can change, but sometimes this doesn't change. Sometimes we still see ourselves as the old wicked man. Now, and I'm saying, you maybe been walking with the Lord for a long time. Maybe you've been saved for a long time and you're steady, you have a steady diet of Jesus. But still yet, the picture in your mind is of that old guy, that old man, that old woman who used to do vile things, who was evil in her thoughts and his thoughts. And I'm just praying today, God, give him a new picture. I want him to see the new picture in Christ. Satan, I tell you this often, Satan is a photographic thinker. And he wants you to be too. He takes a picture of you on your worst day of your life. The time when you've done everything wrong, he takes a picture of you at your lowest moment in life. And then from then on, he puts this picture back in front of your face. And he says something like this, you might fool the church, but you're not fooling me. I know this is who you are. Aren't you thankful that there is nothing that you could have done that the blood of Jesus has not removed from your life? Amen. Amen. I think it's amazing what we let identify us. You know, fatherlessness will identify you. It's just not true. I'm not fatherless. I have a father. Amen. Sometimes men get caught up in their work and their identity becomes who they are at work. And then they become workaholics. Sometimes your identity can get caught up in the way you talk. Maybe you got a potty mouth. And all of a sudden you just see yourself that way. You know, I was praying last night and I thought about that verse, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 5:21 that said, he who become, who knew no sin became sin for us. It's like there was a great exchange one day, and that great exchange happened at the cross. When you came to know him, he said, hey, give me your former life, as bad as it is. Give me that old ugly self. And then here, I want you to take this for me. And he slips his jacket off. And his jacket is the jacket of righteousness. And he says, now here, instead of wearing that old sin, I want you to wear this jacket. Now see, most Christians stumble over the words, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And if I ask you, are you a saint? Oh, pastor, you just don't know. See, you think I'm trying to identify your actions. I'm not trying to identify your actions. I'm trying to get you to identify who you are. Your true identity. See, I think we need to rehearse that sometimes in front of a mirror. I think you need to look at yourself and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not a pawn of the devil anymore. And I'm not a puppet. I'm God's son. John chapter 1 verse 12 says he gave us the right. the authority to become sons of God. Now, if you get that picture in your mind rather than the picture of who you used to be, there's going to be a great transformation in your heart. I just, this just keeps exploding in my heart. It's not where I'm going. It's not where I want to go. But I want you to know there's life after divorce. Divorce is not the unforgivable sin. God forgives and heals. You know, my mother, she never thought she could be baptized in the Holy Spirit because she was divorced. I would sit there in the pew beside her as a little boy, listening to her praying, listening to the Spirit of God pray through her. But she never could, she couldn't do it. She just say, no, I'm not spiritual. Yes, you are, Mom. I heard you. Yes, you are. The Spirit of God is in you. But in her eyes, are you getting me? She couldn't see herself as the righteousness of God. Why? Because of one mistake in her life. God help us. I don't know about you, but I make mistakes pretty much daily. Sometimes hourly. I'm not going to let my mistakes label me. I guarantee you this, I would never have been the pastor of this church until I changed the identity in my mind. You'll never do great things for God until this changes. You've got to see who you really are. And I'm thankful that God is changing the image in our minds. But he goes on and he says that he wants to present us holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. And then he puts the biggest word in the dictionary there in verse 23. If. Oh my, I don't like that. You know why? Because now I have buy-in. I have responsibility. I like to think about God doing great things in my life. But it always comes back to this. You've got some responsibility. You've got some skin in the game. Oh, I didn't think anybody shout over that one. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast. I want to talk to you just a few moments about moving backward. We would call it backsliding. I don't care what you call it. I want you to know you're as close to Jesus today as you want to be. It's not him. It's us. We've got skin in the game. We have some responsibility. There are some people that believe that you cannot backslide. And I was brought up that if you said a cuss word at night, you had backslid. Where in the world? You know, we wasn't raised with any grace. And other people, like, got all the grace. Now, I will just tell you my heart. I'm just going to be transparent today, if that's okay. I hope that the Baptists are right. I really do hope that. I hope that if you ever commit your heart to Jesus Christ, there's no backing away from it. But I just don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that he would put that verse in there. If you continue. So sometimes we want to say that backsliding is God backing away from us. No, that's not true. God never backs away from you. It's always us. We'll never deter the love of Christ for us. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 through 22 says, For if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, what is that? That's salvation. They are again entangled in them and overcome. And the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness then after knowing it, turn back from the holy commandment delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to his vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to the wallow in the mire. James chapter 5, verse 19 through 20 says, my brother, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sin. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. And I could go on. I could go on with many other verses. And guys, somebody always sharp in the crowd will say, well, when? When does that happen? I'm not your judge. I'm not your judge. That's God's business, not a pastor's business. But I think you'll know. You'll know. I think all of us have been striving before and we stop. We talked a couple weeks ago about being complacent. We just get complacent. And when you're complacent, this is what happens. It's very slow. But you just begin to shrink back from your faith. The devil's a master at this. And you start buying into things that you would have never bought into before. I'm not asking you to believe what I believe necessarily on this subject. I'm asking you to believe the word. And I'm asking you to think about it. Because I believe with all my heart, you have responsibility in this. And let me tell you what hurts me. It's for Christian people to come week after week after week after week to the altar to get saved. You see, when someone is continually getting saved, that pastor has not done his job. Because we have not preached grace. I'm not talking about messing up. We all do that. Thank God for His grace. I'm talking about continuing in sin and moving away from faith. Just start backing up. You'll get so far you won't recognize yourself. Samson shook himself, expecting that the Spirit of God was still there. I'm going to whip me some Philistines. But the Spirit of God wasn't there. I can't think of a more solemn picture to think that one day you wake up and realize the Spirit of God is not there. The Bible says to examine yourself. Examine yourself. See, it's not my job, it's your job. Just look into your heart. Now, the Bible says the heart is deceitfully wicked. No man can really know it. So you're going to have God to help you with this. And again, I'm not talking about you blew it yesterday. We've all had bad days. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're not walking in faith any longer. You have turned and backed away. Judas did it. Paul says in his book, he lists two men. He says, you be careful, these guys, they've departed the faith. What is that? If that's not backsliding, what is it? Now, I got my last 2 years of college at a Baptist college. Loved it. So a lot of Baptist theologians and really strong men of God, and we would debate and we would talk just privately. They would talk to us. Dr. Todd loved him. And we always come back to this point. I say they backslid and they said they never was saved. I don't care how you believe that. The end result is the same. they're not walking with Jesus. You know, I think I said this in our membership class last week, and I don't mean to insinuate in any way that Maxine Brown is backslid. She is not. She can't go to church anymore because of some physical things, but she's a precious woman of God. And she had never joined our church, and she wanted to join our church. And, you know, membership, you know, it does not get you to heaven. I hope you know that. Membership, I don't care. You can be a member of every church in this county, and it's not going to matter a hill of beans at that pearly gate. It's just not going to matter. But Maxine told me this. She said, one of these days I'll be leaving this world. It won't be long. 91 years old. And she said, I do not want to go out of this world and not be a member of his church. And I thought, how precious. Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to say you need to join this church. I don't care. Really don't. It just don't matter to me. But to her, it mattered. I wish that we took those kinds of things seriously. Amen. I don't want to go out of this church when I hadn't talked to him that day. I hadn't read his word. Hadn't been in the spirit. There's just certain things. I hadn't shared the love of Jesus with somebody. That's one we forget often, isn't it? If you continue. And then he says, I've got a mystery I want to share with you. Mystery is not something difficult to understand in the scriptures. It's something that had not been revealed at that point. And Paul is revealing something that they did not know about. And he said, here's the mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in us, so that every man will be presented perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm believing that one day I'm going to stand before God, and I'm going to stand there perfect because of the blood of Jesus. But I got news for you. I think that happens more than the end time. I think that happens periodically. I think it happens when you come before the Lord with a request, when you're praying, and Jesus, who's sitting at the right hand of the Father, turns to Daddy God and said, he's mine. I'm in him. Now, he's sitting at the Father, so who is in us? The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is in us. And with that Spirit in us, we'll be presented perfect. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 37. He says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I love that verse. It's verse 32. Now I'm going to read the rest of them to you in just a second. But have you ever, Treva and I have built three or four houses, and we've remodeled three or four houses. Building is easier, I'll tell you. When you remodel, sometimes you feel like you're in a money pit, right? It's just, but you know what happens? At some point along the game of remodeling, fixing this thing up because you're going to sell it, you know, that's the way my mind always works. I'm going to sell this. I'm going to make money on this house. So I start fixing things, and as a Christian, I can't just cosmetically fix them. I got to fix them. Now, I'm going to say that again if you don't get an amen. Come on, every believer, we don't do that. We don't lie when we sell something. We don't just fix the outside and let the inside be deteriorating. We fix it, right? Ooh, I'm getting another sermon. You're going to wake up or I'm going to preach. So every once in a while, you get into this house that you're going to flip, and you got a lot of money in it, and you're fixing this room and you're fixing that room, and you're really getting close to where you want to be in this house, you know, financially. But you can't stop. Right? You can't stop because it's not done and it's not presentable. I can't sell it with the toilet overflowing every time you flush it, right? So I take the toilet up and I realize the floor joists are rotten. Oh, now I got to replace floor joists. Now I got to fix the floor. Now I got to... You get so deep in it, you have no other option. You got to fix it. You just got to keep shelling it out, right? That's what He did for you. You see, God started with the best. He said, I gave you my only begotten Son. No money could buy that. And sometimes we have this feeling that He's going to quit on us. He's not going to quit. He's got too much in you. He's got too much invested in you to back away from that. If He was an investor, He would be a fool. Investors don't back away from it. They've got to complete the task. I'm telling you, Father God is a genius. He does not waste His talents. He does not waste His resources. If Christ is in you, it's because He saw that there's something so great, so valuable in you, that He's just going to keep pouring the resources on until you get it. Hallelujah. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? That's you, right? Come on. We're going to be here for a while if you guys don't wake up. You make me say everything three times. It's your fault this sermon goes long, not mine. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. The way we learned in Sunday school, just as if I'd never sinned. Who is to condemn? You think it's Jesus condemning you? No. Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Right now, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are being killed all day long. We're dying to ourselves. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. I remember preaching this before and I said, the only thing that's not listed on that list is you. And I used to think, all these things cannot separate you from the love of God, but you can. I was wrong. You cannot even separate yourself from the love of God. Now, I'm sorry that we see this with salvation, because it's not. It's just talking about the love of God. I'm telling you, nothing will separate you from God's love. God's love is different than His judgment. He'll judge sin one day. But you cannot separate yourself from the love of God. There's nothing that will ever happen to you, good or bad, that will separate you from the love of God. Many times we see bad things in our life and we think, God, where are you? And He said, I'm right here. I'm walking with you through this thing. Many times it's the bad things in life that actually draws us closer to Him. Strengthens our faith. So I want you to know the way this thing ends, I just think it's so wonderful because we get to know who we really are. What's my true identity? And He said, the Godhead dwells in Christ. And many times He says, in fullness. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in Jesus Christ. The Bible says He is the exact representation of God. He is the expressed image of God. Everything about God, every attribute of God is in Jesus Christ. And I can get excited about that, but not nearly as much as the next part. And Christ dwells in me. I'm telling you, that's powerful. See, if you get the first part of that equation, the second part of the equation will knock your socks off. If I understand that Jesus Christ, every attribute of God the Father, He's omnipotent, He's all-powerful, He's all-present, He's all-knowing, He's full of goodness, He's love. If I understand that God, the fullness of God is in Jesus, that's great. But when I understand that now Jesus is in me, that means the fullness of God is in me. I think that's powerful. And he says, and we are complete in him. Peter goes on in 2 Peter chapter 1, I think it's 3 and 4. He talks about the divine nature of God is in you. Everything we need for life and godliness we find in Christ Jesus. You get that one? Some of you, oh, come on, wake up. The last part of verse 4 in 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, and we, look at your neighbor, say he's talking about us. Every eye on me. We are partakers of the divine nature of God. You get that? I'm eating at daddy's table. It's wonderful when you understand what's in you. The power of God. I'm complete in Jesus Christ. I don't always live my life like that, quite honestly. My mind doesn't always comprehend. There's often times when I feel and I start shrinking back like a little kid. Because I forgot that I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. You know who's the most intimidating people in life to me? Preachers. I would rather be with a bunch of heathens, beer drinking heathens, than with a group of preachers. It just intimidates me. I tend to forget that I is one. You see, I don't carry on this holy language. If you ever get a note from me, it's probably not going to say, oh, may the most blessed heavenly Father touch your life. You know, it's going to say, how you doing today? I write like a businessman. To the point. Think like a businessman. I got about 50 years experience as a businessman. I got about 8 years experience as a preacher. Thank you. Boy, I was waiting for that. It took you a long time. Thought I was going to have to say it myself. You know, I have to remind myself often, and I think you do too, that I'm a partaker. I'm a partaker. You know, just that word makes me think it's voluntarily. I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. It's like God lays a table out there for you and says, here's the best that I've got for you. Now you can be a partaker. And we won't eat. Oh God, that's too good. I just can't eat that, God. Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among a people of unclean. Why? When he got in God's presence. Do you ever feel that? When the presence of God comes down and all of a sudden you begin to shrink back because you're seeing yourself as yourself, not as who he sees you are. Remember, the fullness of God dwells in Christ, and Christ dwells in you. I'm telling you, that is your true identity. See, we ought to leave this place shoulders back and head held high. Doesn't mean everything's right. Doesn't mean I get it right. It means I am right. My actions may not always be right, but my person is right in Him. You get that? I'm judging myself by my actions all the time. It's not about my actions. It's about who I am. And I'm a partaker of the divine nature of God. Whew, I know that's a big one to step over into. But when you step over into that one, you're stepping in some high cotton. I'm going to tell you, it's going to change the way you think. I promise you, it's more revelational than salvation. Who you are. You ain't poor no more. I don't care what your bank account says. You're not poor no more. You get it? Do you realize the creator of this universe is your daddy? And you're worried about your electric bill? We could go on. We could say, I ain't sick no more. Because I serve the healer. The healer. He goes on. He says, you're complete in Him. Let me tell you, single person, quit trying to look for someone to complete you. You're already complete. You might find somebody that compliments you, but they will not complete you. He completed us. You are the complete work of God. And we'll be presented as perfect in Christ Jesus. And then with those words, he says this, now walk in Him. Walk in this knowledge. See, I wish I could just download what's in my spirit to you today. And then say, now walk in that. Walk in this knowledge that He is on your side. You know, I don't know why it is that most of us think God is waiting for us to make a mistake where He can bang us over the head. That is not God. That's the devil's presentation of God. Don't let the devil paint the picture of who Jesus Christ is for you. Let's get it from the Word. God is good. He says, so walk in Him. Walk in tandem like Truve and I did the other day. Step by step, walk with Jesus. Walk in step with the Holy Ghost. Praying, God, lead me. He leads you when you don't even know it. Protects you when you don't even know it. Rooted and established in the faith. And it's all about faith. Rooted. Oh, come on. We are that tree planted by the river of living water. Our roots go deep. It's roots of faith. And I guarantee you they'll get tested from time to time in your life. Every once in a while, you'll get tested just to see if you got root rot. Maybe God's going to have to trim you back a little bit. You ever had to do that to a tree that's, you had to just dig around it? Take that shovel, that spade, and go all the way down trying to clip those roots. Why? So those roots will keep growing. That's what some of us need. We need a little pruning. That was good, and it was from the Spirit of God, I'm going to tell you. I don't care whether you like it or not, it was good. Rooted and established in our faith. And then the third thing he says, abounding in thanksgiving. You see, if you get the first two of those, thanksgiving will just come along. If you understand who you are and you're walking in tandem with Him and you're rooted in the faith, thanksgiving just overflows in your life. We have no problem thanking Him for the things that we know He's done. Thank you, Jesus, that you saved me. And some of you, that's where your thanksgiving stops. Because you don't understand there's so much more than just salvation. I was going to bring a ladder up here today and put a ladder out and put a picture on the first rung that said salvation. You've got lots more steps to go. Just keep climbing the ladder with Jesus, right? You just, as you go up, you go down. Oh, that's so good. I don't know where this stuff's coming from, but I'm telling you it's good. And when you live like that, thanksgiving begins to abound. And it's more than thanksgiving for what you have in your hands. You begin to thank Him for who He is and what He's doing in your life before you can lay your hands on it. That's when you start using that faith to call things that are not as though they are. And I thank You, Jesus, I'm healed. I thank You, Jesus, that I'm prosperous in You. And I thank You, Jesus, that my kids are saved. I thank You, Lord, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. And you can say that when you're being beat up. Because that's when He wants you to say it. That's when the double-edged sword comes. When the battle hits, you begin to quote the Word of God. That's the double-edged sword. The word that came out of Jesus' mouth is now coming out of your mouth. You're going to win some victories in Jesus. Hallelujah. Why? Because of three powerful words spoken on this cross. It is finished. He finished His fight so you could win yours. Amen. The Holy Spirit wants to remove the abrasive qualities from your character. Every one of us have them. Every one of us has this godly man and this ungodly man. Like Brother Robbie preached, which one are you feeding? And they're both talking. Listen to the godly one. But that ungodly one is talking too. He's saying, I wouldn't let them treat me like that. I'd give them a piece of my mind. You know what? That preacher preaches another sermon like that, he's not going to get my tithes next week. I'm so thankful the church is not my provider. This church is good to me, but it's not my provider. Therefore, I will preach what he asked me to preach. Amen. I have abrasive qualities in my life. And so do you. And the Spirit of God wants to remove them. He wants to remove them. You see, if all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in Christ and Christ dwells in me, that means I ought to be like Him. Loving, kind, good, meek, gentle. I find gentleness to be a difficult trait. I'm not gentle. I'm sort of like a bull in a china shop. I don't preach gentle. I tried so hard at the beginning of this message to be gentle, to be meek. Just something happens when I start preaching the Word of God. Ooh, some passion just boils out of me. Would you stand with me? Would you please listen very closely to this question?